And I kind of want to share my story with you of kind of how I got to Ohio 15, 16 years ago and church planting journey. And what I believe, I'm titling this message, The Secret Sauce of Life. As a pastor, people oftentimes come to me and they say, Pastor Jeremy, what's the secret sauce to life? How do I have a happy and healthy marriage that lasts? How do I have and lead a successful business? How can I get through college and honor God? What's the secret sauce to leading well? And how can I be a good parent? How can I make sure that my kids just don't stay alive through the 18 years with me, but I can actually raise them correctly and biblically? How can I make sure that as a grandparent, I'm doing what God's called me to do? What is the secret sauce to life? And that's what I really want to talk about from Nehemiah chapter 2 in just a few moments. I want to show you a picture of my family. I think it's going to be on the screen. I want you to see my wife and three kids. You haven't got to meet them just yet. I need to update this picture. This is actually 2 years ago. My son has now actually surpassed me. There on the left, he's in the teal shirt. He just finished his sophomore year in college at Cedarville. And he's putting up 350 pounds on the bench press. So he's a little bit bigger and a little bit taller than that video. And Jackson is my daughter, Abigail. She just came back from camp this week. And then Jackson, my youngest, is leaving this afternoon for his first ever church camp at Genoa. So pray for mom and for me that we will make it through this week. And so my wife, Jennifer, is a nurse, and we've been married 23 years and counting. Not kids, years and counting. And so that's my wife and my three children. And we all go to church at Genoa, church there in Westerville, Genoa Baptist. But I just wanted you to get a picture. People say, well, I know you're married, but who is she? Well, she's real, okay? And those are my three kids. But I'm so grateful for them. I could not do what I do without them. They've been supportive of our entire ministry and journey, and I thank the Lord for them. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and inspired word, the secret sauce of life. What is the secret sauce of life? And Nehemiah tells us, Nehemiah says, during the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king, and I had never been sad in his presence. So the king said to me in verse 2, why are you sad when you're not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. I was overwhelmed with fear, and I replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why was he afraid, church? Because what was the penalty for being sad before the king without just cause? Execution. He said, why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king asked me, what is your request? So I prayed to the God of the heavens and answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servants found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried so I may rebuild it. And the king, with the queen seated beside him, asked, how long will your journey take and when will you return? So I gave him a definite time, and if it pleased the king to send me, I also said to the king, well, if it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates, so they will grant me safe passage until I reach Judah. And let me have a letter written to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he'll give me timber to rebuild the gates of the fortress, the city wall, and the home where I will live. And the king granted my request, for the gracious hand of my God was upon me. Would you pray with me? Father, move in our hearts this hour through your word to your people. May we leave different than we came, more in love with you. Show us and reveal to us, Father, what you would have for us today. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, I didn't really grow up with a two-parent home. My dad left me when I was 3 years of age. He filed bankruptcy, did some really, really bad things to my mom, and put us on the street. I didn't grow up with a mom and a dad together in a home. I didn't grow up wearing the nicest clothes, going to the nicest schools, driving the nicest car. I always looked around at people who had a mom and a dad, and I envied that. I always prayed that God would one day give me what I always wanted as a boy, and that was a family. As you can see, he's done that. And God had to really do a lot of work in my heart. And I really have learned through this passage as God showed me what he wanted me to be when I came to Christ as a boy. And I started preaching the gospel when I was 16 years of age on the streets of Memphis. I preached in prisons. I preached on the street corners. I preached in revivals. I preached at youth camps. I preached in Caucasian churches. I preached in African-American churches. I will say, African-American churches have a lot more fun. I'm just going to say that. They last a lot longer, and they get a lot more loud. And I had a lot of fun, but God raised me through that, and I met my wife, and then God began to stir in my heart about planting a church. And I met a good friend of mine who planted a church in Columbus called Life Point, and we helped start that church, and God took me from where I was to Ohio, and I kind of want to share some things that I've learned along the way. The reality is we're not saved to sit around and just kind of soak, right? Because if we do, we're going to sour and stink. We've been saved to serve and to be sent. It's going to take all of us to reach Mansfield. It's going to take all of us to reach Central Ohio. It's going to take all of us to reach the Buckeye State. It's going to take all of us to reach the nation and the nations with the gospel of Christ. We are saved to be sent. And Jesus did say in John 20, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I now also send you." So I want us to look quickly in Nehemiah 2 about what I believe is the secret sauce of life, and how you can be successful in the path and endeavors that God has called you. Just as God saved me as a boy, raised me, prepared me, and sent me to Ohio, I believe He's given us all a mission. You say, "Well, Pastor Jeremy, I'm just a businessman." No. You're a Christian businessman, and that business is your mission field, and that's the platform that God's given you. "Oh no, Pastor Jeremy, I'm just a stay-at-home mom." Oh no. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. You're a missionary in the home. You see, all of us have a mission. Not just the pastor, not just the staff, not just the deacons and the elders and the trustees and leaders. We all have a mission. When I was a pastor, I told the members of my church, "You are not a member of Living Hope. You're a missionary out of Living Hope." Every one of us, God has given a path and a call on our life in some form or fashion. And I think there's four things that we're going to see from this passage. Number one, I want you to see this. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. You might want to answer that. Could be the Lord. You never know. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. Look in chapter 1 and then the first four verses of chapter 1. Just go one chapter back and look in verse 1. "During the month of Shislev in the 20th year, he was before Susa." And you go down, and what happens is Nehemiah hears that Jerusalem is lying in ruins. He's actually never been to Jerusalem. He was born in Babylon. He was born in exile. He'd only heard about Jerusalem, but he feels a call and he feels a burden. Some of you in this room, some of you watching online, you're going to have a call and a burden God's going to put on your life. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know whether you're 12 or 16 or 19 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 and full of wisdom. I don't know what age you are and what God's doing, but I know that Moses was up there in years when God called him to a mission. The reason that God woke you up on this side of eternity is because he's got a plan for you. You ever thought about that? Your mission is not just to go to work and get through life and just get a paycheck. Or just graduate high school or go to college so you can say that you got through it. Or one day move toward retirement and get that, you know, retirement home and do what you finally want to do. There's more to life than drawing a salary and getting a degree and hoping it all works out. There's a mission that God's given you. And that job and that school and that family and that neighborhood and that circle of influence God's given you is not for you, it's for a mission opportunity. And Nehemiah knew this. Nehemiah had a burden and a passion to go back to the city he had never been, but he had heard of, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Because you know in the Old Testament, a wall around a city was a sign of what? Security. And when there's no walls around the city, then the city is laid bare and it's open for attack. Nehemiah wants to go back and he wants to rebuild the walls. Ezra and the leaders before, remember, tried to do that and didn't work out so well. So Nehemiah says, I want to go back. God saw before he uses him that he has to trust him. God called me to leave Memphis, Tennessee and move to Marysville, Ohio to plant a church in 2008. And the reality is, before there's activity, I want you to write this down. Before there's activity for God, there must first be intimacy with God. Before there's activity for God, there must first be intimacy with God. Verse 4 of chapter 1, Nehemiah, he hears about the walls. He has a vision. But the first thing he does, he doesn't get on Facebook or social media and tell everybody about it. He doesn't write a book. One of the first things that Nehemiah does is he prays, he weeps, and he fasts. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Are you praying and are you weeping and are you fasting for Mission Point? Are you praying, are you weeping, and are you fasting for the next generation? Are you praying, are you weeping, and are you fasting for God to move powerfully through this church to reach this city with the gospel of Christ? Before there is activity, there must first need to be intimacy. Chapter 2, people love, but you don't have chapter 2 without chapter 1. Nehemiah hears about the walls needing to be rebuilt, and the first thing he does is he spends time with the Lord. Can I ask you a question? How's your time with the Lord every single day? Isn't it so easy to wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is you grab your phone, right? You check your, you know, checking account to make sure there's money still in there. You check ESPN or you check the news cycle or whatever it is you do, you know, in the latest scroll. You know, my kids call it doom scrolling. You know what I mean? It's like where you just spend like hours and you don't even know what you're looking at. You're just like scrolling feeds, you know, whether it's Insta or X or Facebook or whatever it is, you know, and it's like you're just doom scrolling and you're just wasting time. The first thing we should do when we wake up in the morning is to not hop on Facebook, but to be in God's book. There must be intimacy before there's activity from God. God called me to leave Memphis and move to Marysville. And I knew what was going to happen, right? I had a great job in a big church with two secretaries and all my furniture matched. And I knew the moment that I sold everything and had to go, I was going to plant a church. And I knew what happened. I was going to have no secretary. I was going to be the secretary. And none of my furniture was going to match. I got what people didn't want off the street. And that's exactly what happened. But I took it, right? And the reality is I began to listen to people. People began to come to me and whisper in my ear. I was on staff at a church running 2000. It was a great church, great missions church. The pastor was going to be retiring soon. And people were like, don't you know the pastor's going to retire soon? Why would you leave? Why would you go? Don't you know about Ohio? And I was like, tell me what it is. You know what I mean? They're like, it's cold up there. It snows. Pastor Jeremy, you love barbecue. They don't have really good barbecue in Ohio. That's wrong. And I was like, well, you know what I mean? I said, maybe we can go up there and we can open up a barbecue. I don't know. We'll do something. We'll figure it out. And they said, well, Pastor Jeremy, there's not a lot of restaurants that have sweet tea. You love sweet tea. I tell you what, when I moved to Marysville in 2008, there was one restaurant that has sweet tea. 10 years later, praise Jesus, there was five restaurants. You know what I mean? Like God moved. But people were whispering all this in my ear. And here's what happened. I began to listen to them. I began to listen to them. And I began to disobey God and justify my disobedience. You ever done that? You ever justified? It's okay to be honest in church. We get really spiritual about our disobedience. Well, somebody's got to be here. Somebody's got to be, you know. And the reality is, if God's calling you to do something, you better go do it. And I remember being in my office, and God just said, you know what, Jeremy? I think you're more interested in your kingdom than you are mine. Why don't you just stay here where it's comfortable, and I'll find somebody else to go obey what I want. And that broke my heart. And I prayed in my office, and I repented, and I asked God to forgive me. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me one more opportunity, I'll go. And God said, sell everything and go. See, the reality is God has to see that he can trust you. How can we know what we know and still do what we do? If we can trust God with our lives eternally, why can't we trust him daily? There are decisions that this church has to make in the future. There are decisions you have to make every single day as a father, as a leader, as a mother, as a Christian, as an influencer, as an employee, as an employer. There's decisions before us every single day. But at the end of the day, we have to make a decision to trust the Lord, not just with our eternity, but also to trust him every single day. How can we trust God with our lives eternally, but then struggle and say we don't trust him daily? God had to see that he could trust me to leave Memphis, Tennessee, where I was born and raised, and all my family and all my friends and all my little network of all of that, to say, you know what, I'm going to go. Leave all of that behind and go follow and trust the Lord. Before God could use me, he had to trust me. And before God can use you, he's got to trust you. You have to trust him. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. Number two, he spared Nehemiah's life. Number two, he spared Nehemiah's life. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Those slides should be on the screen. And during the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. I had never been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why are you sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. I was overwhelmed with fear, and I replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lie in ruins? And the king said, well, what's your request? That's a miracle. Because we really shouldn't have the book of Nehemiah past this chapter. Shouldn't have it. It's unbelievable. Nehemiah should have been executed on the spot. But he lives. That's a miracle. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah, and the second thing he does is he spares his life. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, when you pass through waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you, and when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. You say, Pastor Jeremy, man, it feels like it's hot right now all around me, not just outside, but in my life, and what's going on? Yes, but the Lord is with you. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that fire, there was somebody in there with them. Jesus never said that the waters wouldn't be choppy. He never said that the storms wouldn't come. What Jesus did say is he would be in the boat right there with you. And he would get you safely through to the other side. God saw Nehemiah's heart and he trusted him. And then he spares his life. When we were leaving Memphis and moving to Marysville, we were in the recession of 07-08. Who remembers that? That was not fun. I walked outside my home, and I could see seven homes with for sale signs in them. One of my neighbors took out a $10,000 loan to sell his house, and he was happy about it. That's how bad it was in our economy. People said, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to Ohio? I said, yes, I believe God's called us to Ohio, and I believe he's going to take care of it. And do you know, with 3 weeks to go, I learned my lesson, intimacy before activity. I was going to trust God no matter what. It's easy to preach sermons and sing songs and talk spiritual. It's a different thing to walk it out. And I knew that God was calling us. I knew we had to go to Ohio, and I wasn't going to disobey again. 3 weeks to go, we got a phone call from someone that said, we want to buy your house. Unbelievable. You know, we sold our house with 3 weeks to go. And listen, I made $47 on the house. I took my wife to Outback, and I said, baby, I'm even going to buy you an appetizer tonight. You know what I mean? Onion rings on me. It was amazing. God did all of it. I've never been so happy in my life about $47. But God did it. God spared Nehemiah's life. God does the unthinkable. Listen, he's the best real estate agent you'll ever have. And when God orders you to do something, he will take care of the rest. Number three, God sent Nehemiah on his journey. God sent Nehemiah on his journey. He said, if it pleases the king and if your servants found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it. And the king with the queen seated beside him asked, how long will your journey take and when are you going to return? So I gave him a time and it pleased the king to send me. This is a miracle. I don't want you to ever see chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Nehemiah the same. In reality, from a physical human perspective, we shouldn't even have the book in the Bible. Nehemiah should have been executed in chapter 2. There was no just cause for his sadness. Most kings have had men beheaded for lesser crimes. The fact that Nehemiah gets to live, and then we have the rest of chapter 2, is miraculous because God is the one who did it all. God saw that he could trust him. In chapter 1 of Nehemiah, Nehemiah hears about Jerusalem. He prays, he weeps, and he fasts. Intimacy before activity. God wants to do a great work through you, yes. But he wants to do a great work in you first. When he does a great work in you, then he will do a great work through you. But intimacy has to be first before there is activity. God trusts Nehemiah. He spares his life, and then he sends him on his journey. God sent us on our journey from Memphis, Tennessee to Marysville, Ohio. We sold everything that we had. We sold our cars. We sold our dog. Our dog bit people, so we didn't think that was a good strategy for planning a church, right? We sold everything we had, we kept our kid, and we packed it all in a U-Haul, and we moved north. God did all of it. God sent families from all over the nation. Even a family from Alaska came and helped us in our first year plant this church. After a year, they moved back. They said it was too hot down here, so they went back to Alaska. But it was amazing how God brought people from all over. There was a story, a crazy story. We were doing a car wash. Pastor Matt, you ever done a car wash with students? Right? It's always interesting getting water and hoses and soap in student ministry. You never know what's going to happen. So we got all of our students. We did a huge car wash announcing. This lady walked up to me and she said, what are you doing out here? And I said, we're washing cars, ma'am. She goes, well, why are you washing cars? I don't know. It just got through with winter in Ohio. I think everybody needs a car wash right now, you know? Do you want one? She goes, what's your motive? I said, man, I promise you, we got soap and we got students. We just want to wash cars. We're a new church and we're talking about our new church. She goes, I knew it. I knew there was something here. She goes, where are you from? I hear your accent. I said, I'm from Tennessee. She goes, what kind of church are you starting? I said, man, we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to do missions. She goes, no, 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 no. What kind of church are you? I said, we're Baptist. She goes, are you Southern Baptist? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I knew it. I knew it. She goes, we don't need your church here. She goes, why don't you go back south where you're from? And I said, I guess you don't want a car wash, do you, you know? And she said, no. And she took the money. She took a $20 bill, and she watered it up. She threw it at me. She goes, here you go. And I said, great. I'm going to give this to Southern Baptist Missions. You know what I mean? So never saw her again in my life, you know? But reality, and then the 20 minutes later, a car came running down the main street of downtown Marysville, and this guy got out of the car. He almost hit the telephone pole. He comes out of the car. He pulls in. Listen, there's some people, when they get out of the car raises. That happened. Big Rob, his name Big Rob for a reason. Big Rob comes in our parking lot. The car raises, and he goes, who's the pastor of this church? I looked at my student guy, and I said, him. That's the guy. And so my student guy said, no, that's the guy over there. So he comes up to me and he goes, what kind of church is this going to be? I'm like, dude, we're just wanting to wash cars. You know what I mean? Like, can we just wash cars? He goes, listen, I got a story for you you wouldn't believe. I said, right now, man, I'll believe anything. He goes, I'm from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I go to a church called Living Hope Baptist in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we're moving to Ohio, and we've been praying for a year that God would give us a church here in Marysville that preaches the Bible and believes in missions. And I saw your sign on the street that says, New Church, Living Hope, and I about ran off the road. I said, I saw. He goes, well, when, he goes, can I come be a part of this church? I said, absolutely. And so he came the next Sunday, and he was my instant security team. You know what I mean? Like, it was amazing what God did. A story after story, God was doing. I love what Adrian Rogers said. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God's calling all of us to a mission. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I do know this, is that God wants to do a great work in you, and then he wants to do a great work through you. Sometimes we need to realize that when you hit rock bottom, it's because God wants you to know that he's the rock at the bottom. Some of you right now feel like you're at rock bottom. You're struggling. And God wants you to know that he's the rock at the bottom that you need. Nehemiah is showing us over and over through chapter 1 and chapter 2 the secret sauce of life. God has to be able to trust you. There must be intimacy before there's activity. He spares his life. He sends him on his journey. And then 4, he supplies his vision. He supplies his need. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates, so they will grant me safe passage until I reach Judah. And let me have a letter written to Asaph, keeper of the forest. Give me timber for the fortress, the home where I will live. And the king granted my request because the gracious hand of my God was upon me. The secret sauce to life really isn't a secret. It's for the hand of God to be upon your life. That's what we need. That's what this church needs. I pray that for the 700 churches that are right now in the Southern Baptist Convention in Ohio. I pray that for every pastor and for every church, that the hand of God would fall and rest upon that church and for their mission. I pray that for myself every single day, that the hand of my God would rest upon my life. What you need is not more money in your account and not more influence on social media. What you need is for the hand of God to fall upon your life and rest upon your life. Amen. That's what you need. And that's what I need. Whatever God orders, he pays for, and wherever God guides, he provides. Someone is waiting on the other side of your obedience. Did you know that? Someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience. My father reached out to me when I moved to Marysville. It had been over 2 decades. And I was bitter, and I was angry, and I was mad. He reached out to me and he said, son, I've found you on the internet and I've been listening to your sermons. I'd really love to see you. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat this. I didn't really want to see him. I was still upset. I was still mad that he left me. When I was 3. Where's he been? Why is he wanting my life now all of a sudden? He wants to roll back up like everything's good. And then I remembered this passage. And then I remembered the journey that God was teaching me. Intimacy before activity. Trusting him. Yielding to him. And then the Lord, through his word, spoke to my heart once again through the Holy Spirit. If you can preach forgiveness, but you can't live it, then maybe you should be done preaching. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. And I knew what Jesus said. How can I forgive you if you don't forgive others? And so I responded back to my dad, and you ever just email things, you don't know why you're responding back, and I said, you know what, Dad, I'd love to meet. I'd love to see you. He goes, hey, I'm going to be in Columbus in a city called Dublin. You ever heard of it? I said, yeah, I'm only there 3 times a week. You know what I mean? Sure, let's hang out. So we meet for dinner there in Dublin one night while he's in town for work, and it's about as awkward as it could be. But he paid for dinner. And when you're a church planner with no money, that's a good start. You know what I mean? And then I asked him, I said, would you like to come out and would you like to meet your grandkids? And he said, I thought you'd never ask. And I said, I thought I'd never say that. So he comes out the next night in February. We got a blizzard, a foot of snow in Marysville. And there's my five-year-old. He's 20 years old now. He was five at the time. And Abigail was one. And there they are in the living room playing the Nintendo Wii together. I still think the Nintendo Wii is the best thing ever invented. That's just my personal opinion. But they're sitting there playing Mario Kart in the living room, and I looked at my wife and I said, what is happening? She said, the gospel's happening. That's what's going on. My dad came to church that Sunday. We were a new church start. We were meeting in a school. And I was so nervous. If you're an athlete, you know what it's like before a big game, what you feel. I was so nervous preaching. Just preach the word. And I said, Dad, how'd you like it? He goes, it's pretty cool. I loved your band. I could wear jeans. You got good coffee. And I said, well, that's good. 6 months later, my dad came back. And that Sunday, that day, my dad made peace with God. And that Sunday, he made peace with me. And I've got a relationship with my father again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, if I had not left Memphis and obeyed the Father to move to Marysville and plant a church, I would have missed all of that. Intimacy before activity. Yes, planting a church and seeing people come to know Christ and baptize and starting churches, that was all part of the mission, yes. But I believe also part of the mission was me obeying and reaching my own Father with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Nehemiah was spared and sent, and God miraculously took care of everything, God has done the same thing with me all the days he's given me. And God has done a great work in me first before he's ever done anything through me, and he wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to do a great work in you so he can do a great work through you. Someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience. Will you trust him, and will you honor him with your life? Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit of God, thank you for your word. The secret sauce of life really isn't a secret. It's the hand of God upon our life, upon this church, upon this ministry, the leaders, upon our businesses and our families and our schools. God, just as you used Nehemiah, you want to use us. May we not see ourselves as just people who go to work and go to school and come to church. We're not just members of Mission Point. We're missionaries. God, you've given us a mission, a circle of influence, a network. Every single day, you call us out into the waters, and sometimes those waters get rough, and sometimes those waters get choppy, and sometimes we can't see the other side because of the storm. But that's okay, because you said you'd be in the boat with us, and you would get us through to the other side. May we not seek fame and fortune and influence for our own kingdom, for our own good. May we seek your hand and your favor upon our life. God, if there's anybody here today who's never been saved, I pray that today would be the day they would repent of their sins and receive you as their Savior, and you would change their life. God, you are so good to us. You really are a good, good Father. But I fear oftentimes in our churches, we're seeking all the wrong things. And we're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. When you're the only source of joy and fullness of life. May we seek your hand. May we seek your favor. The secret sauce of life is to have your hand upon our life. And may it stay and rest all the days that you give us. You're calling some here in this room out onto the water to a new vision. Just as you called Nehemiah to rebuild a wall, you've called all of us to a mission. I pray that we would not disobey it. We may not have all the answers. We may not have all the resources that we think we need, but you do. You have all the answers, and you have all the resources. And just like Nehemiah learned and obeyed, we must learn and we must obey that someone's waiting on the other side of our obedience. May we not justify our disobedience. May we serve, may we give, and may we live in such a way that honors you and pleases you all the days you give us. Father, as we sing this song, move in our hearts. May we yield and respond to you, for this is your time. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.